Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Golder, and the name is Zechus Baba Basra, Daf Kufnun Dal, the ninth parak, Misha Meis. So the three talks are going to focus on number one, in the Mishnah on Daf Kufnun Gimel Amud Aleph, where a gift was given and a dispute arose. If the giver was a Shechemira at the time, Rav Meir says the giver must prove he was a Shechemira, and the Chomim say the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. A Marayim dispute what proof the Mishnah means. Rav Huna says, Rai be'edim, proof with witnesses that he was a Shechemira at the time. He explains that these Tanaim parallel the Machlokas quoted on the previous daf, whether we assume he was healthy then, if he's healthy now, or we follow the property's chazaka. Other Amorayim say, Rai beki moshtar, the Chachamim mean proof through certifying the document. They both hold that if he's healthy now, we assume he was then. They argue if Mod b'shtar shksavu tzar chakaimo, one who admits that he wrote a shtar but claims it cannot be used, the shtar's holder must certify it to use it. Since the shtar cannot be used without the giver's admission, the Chachamim hold he can claim he was a shkimira. Similarly, a borrower can claim the shtar was paid until the holder independently verifies the shtar. Point number two, someone sold his late father's property and died, but his relatives claimed he died as a katan and the sale was invalid. They asked Rabbi Akiva, Mahu Abotka, what about examining his body to determine if he was a gadol? He responded, Yetam Rashaim Navlo, you are not permitted to disgrace the body by examining it. Furthermore, simanim of maturity tend to change after death, so the examination would prove nothing. Rabbi Yochanan argues that if the requisite proof in the Mishnah is merely to certify the shtar, why did the buyers request to examine the body? Let them simply certify the shtar. Reish Lakish answers that the buyers had already taken possession of the property, and the relatives sought to retake it by examining the body and proving it was a katan. This seems more reasonable because if the buyers had requested the examination, why would they agree not to disgrace the body? Since they paid for the property, they would have insisted on the examination. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Akiva had additionally told them the examination was worthless. And point number three, the Mishnah Bar Kapara states that if a field's previous owner challenged someone occupying it, and the occupant presented the shtar that he acquired it, then if the previous owner admits the shtar was not forged, but says it's a shtar pasim, a fake document to falsely make the holder appear wealthy, or shtar amana, a document of trust, where the buyer was trusted to pay for the land but did not, voiding the sale, then if Edim do not corroborate his claim, we follow the shtar. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, if this follows only Rabbi Meir's opinion, the one who admits he wrote a shtar but claims it's invalid, the shtar is followed without certification. Rabbi Yochanan responds that everyone holds such a shtar is used without certification. Although the Rabban do hold that a shtar must be certified where Edim admitted signing it but claimed there were ineligible witnesses, Rabbi Yochanan differentiates if Edim are stronger and can weaken the shtar with their claim, does the seller have such power? Although the shtar was confirmed through the seller's admission, he still cannot undermine it. Rabbi Zer rejects this entire version of Rabbi Yochanan's conversation and presents another. So once again, the 3 points are number one. In the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, where a gift was given and a dispute arose if the giver was a Shechemira at the time, Rabbi Meir says the giver must prove he was a Shechemira, and the Chomim say the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. A Marayim dispute what proof the Mishnah means. Rav Huna says, Rai be'edim, proof with witnesses that he was a Shechemira at the time. He explains that these Tanaim parallel the Machlokas quoted on the previous daf, whether we assume he was healthy then, if he's healthy now, or we follow the property's chazaka. Other Amorayim say, Rai beki moshtar, the Chachamim mean proof through certifying the document. They both hold that if he's healthy now, we assume he was then. They argue if Mod b'shtar shksavu tzar chakaimo, one who admits that he wrote a shtar but claims it cannot be used, the shtar's holder must certify it to use it. Since the shtar cannot be used without the giver's admission, the Chachamim hold he can claim he was a shkimira. Similarly, a borrower can claim the shtar was paid until the holder independently verifies the shtar. Point number two, someone sold his late father's property and died, but his relatives claimed he died as a katan and the sale was invalid. They asked Rabbi Akiva, Mahu Abotka, what about examining his body to determine if it was a gadol? He responded, Yetam Rashaim Navlo, you are not permitted to disgrace the body by examining it. Furthermore, simanim of maturity tend to change after death, so the examination would prove nothing. Rabbi Yochanan argues that if the requisite proof in the Mishnah is merely to certify the shtar, why did the buyers request to examine the body? Let them simply certify the shtar. Reish Lakish answers that the buyers had already taken possession of the property, and the relatives sought to retake it by examining the body and proving it was a katan. This seems more reasonable because if the buyers had requested the examination, why would they agree not to disgrace the body? Since they paid for the property, they would have insisted on the examination. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Akiva had additionally told them the examination was worthless. And point number three, the Mishnah Bar Kapar states that if a field's previous owner challenged someone occupying it, and the occupant presented a shtar that he acquired it, then if the previous owner admits the shtar was not forged, but says it's a shtar pasim, a fake document to falsely make the holder appear wealthy, or shtar amana, a document of trust, where the buyer was trusted to pay for the land but did not, voiding the sale, then if Edim do not corroborate his claim, we fall the shtar. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, if this follows only Rabbi Meir's opinion, the one who admits he wrote a shtar but claims it's invalid, the shtar is followed without certification. Rabbi Yochanan responds that everyone holds such a shtar is used without certification. Although the Rabban do hold that a shtar must be certified where Edim admitted signing it but claim there are ineligible witnesses, Rabbi Yochanan differentiates if Edim are stronger and can weaken the shtar with their claim, does the seller have such power? Although the shtar was confirmed through the seller's admission, he still cannot undermine it. Rabbi Zer rejects this entire version of Rabbi Yochanan's conversation and presents another. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Kuf Nun Dalet, and our standard Siman is a candy man, the Shul candy man. So here goes. The man looking for Edim to verify his shtar from the candy man gifting him a stash of candy, so the candy man's claim that it was a matna shchimira could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale. And another man admitting that he wrote a shtar giving away property, but it was a shtar pasim who wasn't believed. So once again, it's a motion. The man looking for Edim to verify a shtar from the candy man, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. The man looking for Edim to verify a shtar from the candy man, gifting him a stash of candy, so the candy man's claim that it was a matna shchimera could be ignored, which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, where a gift was given and a dispute arose if the giver was a shchimera at the time, Remer says the giver must prove he was a shchimera, and the Chachamim say the recipients must prove he was a bari to take the property. Amoraim dispute what proof the Mishnah means. Rav Huna says Rai be'edim, proof with edim that he was a shchimera at the time. He explains that these Tanaim parallel the Machokas quote on the previous daf, whether we assume he was healthy then, if he's healthy now, or we follow the property's chazaka. Other Amoraim say Rai be'kima shtar, the Chachamim mean proof through certifying the document. So the man looking for Edim to verify his shtar from the candy man gifted him a stash of candy, so the candy man's claim that it was a matna shchimira could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, which reminds us, someone once sold his late father's property and died, but his relatives claimed he died as a katan and the sale was invalid. They asked Rabbi Akiva, Mahu Lobotko, what about examining his body to determine if he was a gadol? He responded, Yatam Rishayim Unavu, you are not permitted to disgrace the body by examining it. Furthermore, simanim of maturity tend to change after death, so the examination would prove nothing. So the man looking for Edim to verify his shtar from the candy man, gifting him a stash of candy so the candy man's claim that it was a matna shchimira could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, and another man admitting that he wrote a shtar giving away property, but it was a shtar pasim who wasn't believed, which reminds us, the Mishnah Bar Kabar states that if a field's previous owner challenged someone occupying it, and the occupant presented the shtar that he acquired it, then if the previous owner admits the shtar was not forged, but says it's a shtar pasim, a fake document to falsely make the holder appear wealthy, or a shtar amana, a document of trust, where the buyer was trusted to pay for the land but did not, voiding the sale, then if Edim do not corroborate his claim, we follow the shtar. So once again, the man looking for Edim to verify his shtar from the candy man gifting him a stash of candy so the candy man's claim that it was a matna shchimera could be ignored, found a man insisting that his relative who sold the property was only a katan sucking on a lollipop at the time of the sale, and another man admitting that he wrote a shtar giving away property, but it was a shtar pasim who wasn't believed. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf Kuf Nun. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun is a con man. So here goes. The con artist, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun. The con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a kosher was enough for Reishis a gaze, which reminds us, Gemara brings a mission where Rabbi Dosman Horkanah said, Chamesh Rachel's Gozazos Manu Manu Upras, five sheep of which each is shorn a man and a half of fleece, are obligated in the law of Reishis a gaze, which is given to a Kohen. But the Chachamim say, Chamesh Rachel's Gozazos Koshehen, five sheep which are shorn even a minimal amount. Rav defined that koshen means man upras, a total of a man and a half, provided that there are at least fifths, meaning each produced at least a fifth of a mana and a half. The Gemara tends to show that this proves that a koshu has a minimum requirement, but answers that koshu should not have been used in this context. So the con artist who tried convincing a Cohen that a Kosher was enough for Reish's a gaze, conned his Evid out of his freedom by leaving over Karka Kosher in the Shtar that gifted to him all of his possessions, which reminds us, Gemara discusses what is included in the gift of all of one's metaltling. It asks if a slave is considered like Karka in this respect, since it has the lacha of Karka for numerous laws, such as a kinyan, or if they're referred to as metaltling, since they are physically movable. Ravina quoted a mission which teaches that if one writes all his possessions over to a slave, his slave goes free since he is one of those possessions. She or Karka Kochu, if he retained land of even minimal size, meaning he said he's retaining some land, well, Yatsa ben Chorin, he does not go free because the retained land may refer to the slave himself. So the con artist who tried convincing a Kohen that a Koshu is enough for Reish's a gaze, conned his Evid out of his freedom by leaving over a Karka Koshu in the Shtar that gifted to him all of his possessions, and was out-conned by his new wife, who wrote away all her property to a friend. Which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Chamisha ad sheyichtivu kol nichseim. There are five people where the laws of their gifts only apply if they raid over all their possessions, the fifth case being a mavrachas, one who chases away, referring to an almana, who does not want her new husband to acquire rights in her property. Before remarrying, she gives her property away to someone whom she trusts to return it if the marriage ends. This insincere gift is ruled void, but tzricha shetichtov kol nechseh, she must write away all her property to demonstrate her intent. Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. So the simber Daf Kuf Nun Aleph is a kanai, a zealot, or a zealot with a spear. So here goes. When the Shemira mother who wrote all of her possessions to one son and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother, that must mean Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, kanai, zealot. When the Shemira mother who wrote all her possessions to one son and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama's mother, who was the Shemira, wrote all of her possessions to him in the evening. But in the morning, she changed her mind and wrote them to her son, Rav Ukva Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama came before Rav Sheshes, who established him as the owner of the property, but Rav Ukva Bar Chama came before Rav Nachman, who established him as the rightful owner. Rav Sheshes protested to Rav Nachman that since the mother died and didn't recover, her retraction should be ineffective. Rav Nachman responded that Shmuel said, Koshi yu amud chozer, anyone who, if he recovers, can retract, chozer b'matnaso, can retract from his gift, even if he does not recover, and that Shmuel explicitly said that a shchimira can retract ben la'atzmo ben la'acherim, whether it's for himself or for someone else. So when the Shemira mother, who wrote all of her possessions to one son, and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, and did so without his making a kinyan, since Divrei Shemira Kaksuvim Kmasurim Damu, which reminds us, Rav Nachman taught, Divrei Shemira Kaksuvim Kmasurim Damu, the words of a Shemira are considered like they are written, and handed over to the recipient even without making a kinyan. So when the Shemira mother, who wrote all her possessions to one son, and then retracted and gave it to his more zealous brother before she died, and did so without his making a kinyan, since Divrei Shemira Kaksuvim Kmasurim Damu, the first son became zealous and insisted his sister, who repeatedly retracted on giving a gift, leave some property to herself, which still didn't work, because one can still retract in the case of Mitzava Machmas Misa, which reminds us, Rav Dimi's sister, who was ill, gifted her orchard to Rav Dimi. Since she had retracted several times before, Rav Dimi designed the gift in a way she could not retract by having her retain a portion and by making a kinyan. Still, Rav Nachman required him to return it because Adim heard her bemoaning her impending death. Clearly, she was instructing to give away her property because she thought she would die. Umitzava machmas misa chozer. And anyone who explicitly instructs because of an impending death can retract. Daf Kuf Nun Beis. So the Simur Daf Kuf Nun Beis is a bank or a banker. So here goes. The two bankers, that must be Daf Kuf Nun Beis. The two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shemira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shemira was to give it both the power of a Matna Shemira and also a regular gift, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a Matna Shemira, Shekasuba Kinyan, the gift of a Shemira with a kinyan written into it, where they performed a kinyan suda on the gift when it was not required. Rav says he has made it ride on two steeds, but Shmuel says, I don't know how to judge such a gift. Rav holds that the Shemira's purpose in making a kinyan for his gift was to give it both the power of a matna Shemira and of an ordinary gift. It's like an ordinary gift in that he cannot retract upon recovering, and it's like a matna Shemira that it has the ability to transfer alone. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shemira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done in the Matna Shemira was to give it both the power of Matna Shemira and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, which reminds us, if a Shemira said, Kisvu utnu mana laponi, write a shtar and give a mana to pony and died, Rav ruled that we do not write it and give it because perhaps he only intended to give it with the shtar, which is not effective after his death. Shmuel ruled that the gift should be written and given because in this case, It was miyafes kocho. He was enhancing the recipient's power with the kinyan by explicitly saying so. So the two bankers who rode in on two horses to help the Shchimira with his estate and argued whether the kinyan done on the matna Shchimira was to give it both the power of a matna Shchimira and also a regular gift, or whether that would only work if he specified that he was giving more power, were frustrated when they found out that the Shchimira had written and given the same gift to two people. Which reminds us, Gemara brings another malchokas between Rav and Shmuel. If a Shchimira wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift, and then did the same for someone else, Rav says the first recipient acquires it, and Shmuel says the second recipient acquires it. Rav's ruling reflects his opinion that making a kinyan for the gift is meant to give it the power of a matnas bari. He holds giving over the shtar has the same effect, so he can no longer retract. Shmuel's ruling reflects his opinion that this remains a standard matna Shchimira, and he can retract from it. Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Nun Gimel is a king. So here goes. The king, that must be Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. The king who was dying and had a scribe write a shtar, which included the words B'chaim Ubamaves, which reminds us there was a shtar written by a Shchimira, which stated B'chaim Ubamaves, I give you this gift in life and in death. Rav said it's considered a matna Shchimira because since he wrote B'maves, he's saying it should take effect after his death. The mention of B'chaim in the shtar was merely a simon ba'alma d'chaya, an omen that he should live, meaning since he mentioned his impending death, he added a hopeful mention of living. Shmuel says it's considered a matnas bari because since he wrote B'chaim, he's saying it should take effect during his lifetime. The mention of B'maves was like one saying the gift should be yours from now and forever, meaning even after he dies. So the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar which included the words B'chaim Ubamaves was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, which reminds us, a braisa discusses a gift where the giver and recipients dispute if he was a Shchimira or a Bari when he gave it, and whether he can now retract. Rabbi Yaakov says the benefactor can take back the property without proving he was a Shchimira, but the recipients must prove he was a Bari to take the property. He follows the chazaka of the property, which was originally the giver's. Rabbi Nassan says that if he's currently a Bari, he must prove he was a Shchimira then. If he's currently a Shchimira, they must prove he was a Bari. Rabbi Nassan follows the current status. So, the king who was dying and had his scribe write a shtar which included the words B'chaim Ubamaves was so shocked when after he got better and retracted, the recipient came to his court claiming it was given when the king was healthy, that he had his guards take the man down to an enclosed valley that was a Rishusa Rabim regarding Tum in the summer and Rishusa Yachid in the rainy season, which reminds us, a Mishnah says about Abika, a valley of grain fields, that during the summer, if it's enclosed, it's a Rishus Yachid regarding laws of Shabbos, but it's a Rishus of Rabim regarding questions of Tumah, and cases of doubtful Tumah are ruled Tameh. Since people enter the field during the harvest season, it's not secluded. However, during the rainy season, when produce is growing, and people do not enter the field, it's a Rishus Yachid for Tumah as well. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which step to the case of a Safak Tumah in a field that is a Rishus HaRabim in the harvest season and a Rishus HaYachid in the rainy season? That's on Daf Kuf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which step to Malchus in a case where the Shchimira wrote away his property to someone and gave him the shtar recording the gift and then did the same for someone else? That's on Daf Kuf Nun Beis. Good. Number 3. Which step do we learn? Chazar B'Mixas Havia Chazar B'Kula. A partial retraction is a retraction of all of it. That's on Daf Kuf Memches. Good. Number 4. Which stuff that we learn a Mitzvah Machmas Misa can also retract from his gift and does not require a kinyan? That's on Daf Kuf Nun Aleph. Good. Number 5. Which stuff to discuss what the din is if the former owner challenges a shtar saying it's a shtar pasim or shtar amana? That's on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 6. Which stuff to discuss what the din is if a Shchimira sold all his possessions and then he recovered? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Tes. Good. Number 7. Which stuff to the case of someone who sold property and died, and his relatives claim he was a katan at the time? That's on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we have machlokes regarding the minimum requirement for ratios of gaze? That's on Daf Kuf Nun. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we have machlokes if the giver must prove he was a Shchimira with Edim or with Kima Shtar? That's on Daf Kuf Nun Dalet. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do the mice of Issa Giura who admitted that 12,000 ziz belonged to his son Rav Mari? That's on Daf Kuf Mem Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.